And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. Folks, I don't know where you are as you're listening to the sound of my voice, but where I am here in Southeast Virginia, the sun is shining, the trees are green, the flowers are blooming. It is a wonderful day. And I know we can easily forget that in the midst of this crisis we've been going through. But you know, life is still good because God is still on the throne. And I was reminded of this a little earlier, just in my spirit, as I just felt God saying to me, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to do you good and not harm. Plans to give you hope and a future and an expected end. And when you seek me with all your heart, you'll find it. So we have reason to be hopeful. You know, I also thought about David in one of the Psalms of Ascents in Psalm 124, and the relevant portions just really blessed me. Because what the psalm says is, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our souls. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our souls. Blessed be the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. That's not the whole psalm, obviously, but, you know, the Lord is on our side. Because we are on his side. So we have reason to be hopeful and encouraged. And I don't know what the specifics are for what you might be facing right now in your own circumstance, your own situation. But I know this, God is no respecter of persons, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he loves you with an unfathomable love. You know, I've often said this, and I hope you all receive it in the way I say it. But this goes for each and every one of you right now. You know, God's got a thing for you. Yes, he does. God's got a thing for you. You know, the Bible says he's numbered every hair on our head. And I often correct people. I say, no, he doesn't say he counted. It says he's numbered. He knows hair number one from hair number 1001. So, look, we don't even know that about our own hair. But God knows you better than you know yourself and loves you, frankly, loves us better than we're able to love ourselves because he loves us with an absolutely perfect love. So just be encouraged, everybody, because I certainly am. And I hope you are, too. And I wanted to say that because, you know, the news, now the virus itself, we see, is beginning to recede. But, you know, there are people, particularly in the media and among some of the experts who just don't want to let this stuff go. I mean, not that it's over, obviously, I understand that. But, you know, they just keep heaping bad news on us. And so now we're hearing that there could be a resurgence in the fall and it could be worse than the first one we experienced. So, you know, as if they haven't scared the daylights out of everybody already. That's not enough. No. You know, in the fall, it's going to get worse. Please, you know, just give us a break. And, you know, there are reports that a lot of hospitals could go bankrupt because, of course, having scared the daylights out of everybody and having made everybody feel like we're all going to die. And I'm not in any way minimizing the number of deaths that we've had, but we're not all going to die. Okay. But they presented it that way. And so people stopped going to hospitals for their tests. In fact, I was scheduled to do a test after this thing hit and I canceled it. I said, well, you know, that if they're telling you that those are one of the worst places you can go, that those tend to be the locus of you know, the virus and the likelihood of contracting it, you know, running across people who have it and all that. I said, well, I mean, there was no emergency. So why do it? I'll wait. Apparently, others all over the country have made similar decisions, and it's affecting the hospital's bottom lines. And I'm sure you all know they're laying off hospital workers. Far from being overwhelmed, these hospitals are, in fact, laying people off and letting people go. So, you know, folks, I think it's going to take us to get through this before we actually know the truth. Now, you mark my words. You mark my words, because the Lord willing, and AFR still wants me, I'll be here when this is over, and we're going to reflect back on it. And you know what I believe? I believe that we're going to find out that a lot of the information that we were given was simply not accurate. It was promoted and propagated with an agenda, and the agenda was to justify everything that you wanted people to do and every move that you wanted to make. I think some of it was calculated to try to manipulate the president himself. Because this president loves the American people. I believe that with all my heart, and I think he'd do anything in his power to stop the American people from having to suffer needlessly. But I think some of this information we're going to find out, I think was just, you know, stuff was inflated. I think the lethality rate was inflated. I think we're going to find out that this thing, it by and large, not necessarily the symptoms of what happens when people get sick, particularly if they have, again, what the medical community has begun to call comorbidities. In other words, they've got diabetes, they've got heart disease, they've got kidney problems, they've got, you know, some sort of a problem that in and of itself is potentially fatal. They've got respiratory issues, something that's potentially fatal, then their likely complications make it more risky for them and make it more likely that the disease could end in their death. But now we're hearing that if this thing has really spread the way people think and people have developed antibodies and we're having a kind of herd immunity develop in the country anyway, that a lot more people have it and don't even know they have it because they have it like they have a whole lot of other stuff roaming around their bodies that their immune systems just fight off and they just keep going and they don't even know they've got it. I say this with tremendous trepidation, only because I don't want to ever come across in a way that sounds like I don't have the utmost compassion for everybody who has suffered with this thing, whether they've gotten sick with it or whether a loved one has died with it. That's a very, very serious thing, and we should never take that lightly. But I really do believe this, and we're going to find out whether I'm right, but I really do believe this. I believe that these death numbers are inflated. How inflated? I don't know. But when I hear again that almost any death in the context of a hospital or a nursing home is now being counted as a coronavirus death because it's more lucrative to do so, A, and B, because there's sort of a consensus in the medical community that whatever a person actually dies from, the complication that brought on that death is the coronavirus, and therefore the coronavirus is the, shall we say, the critical factor. I don't think that's good science. I don't think that's truthful. I think here again, even though some of that is probably well-intentioned, I don't think, you know, every doctor would do something like that because they're trying to fool people. But I think the sort of instruction, the agreement, this is the way we're going to do this. This is what we're asking everybody to do. I think some of that is coming not from a good place. So in the meantime, nothing I've said is meant to indicate that this is not a real problem that we have that really requires all of our attention, and it also requires attention, of course, to keeping our economy going and requires attention to respecting our Constitution in the process. I'm not hearing anything. Are we okay? We'll be back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Three dozen states have voter ID laws, but one of those states, Virginia, just struck down their requirement to show identification before voting. The governor signed the bill, arguing that voting is a fundamental right. That is true, and all the more reason to make sure voter fraud does not take place. Meanwhile, Michelle Obama announced a nationwide push to have every state vote by mail and allow people to register online. Progressives have tried to eliminate voter ID laws and promote liberal policies towards voting for years, but they've had limited success until now. Concerns about the virus pandemic, they believe, might provide sufficient justification for altering our election laws. The argument against voter ID is difficult to make in a society that requires identification for just about everything. You need an ID to buy a cell phone. You need an ID to open a bank account. You need an ID to rent or buy a house or to apply for a mortgage. You need an ID to rent a car or even drive a car. You need an ID to get on an airplane, and you need an ID to apply for food stamps or to apply for Medicaid and Social Security. Having the entire nation vote by mail means that all of those votes are cast without any election official overseeing the process. We don't know if there was undue influence or intimidation. We also know that voter registration rolls are often inaccurate and out of date. Someone could vote in place of someone who died, and we might never know it. Absentee voting by mail is helpful for some and can be allowed for certain circumstances, but having all Americans vote by mail is a temptation for voter fraud and would endanger the security and integrity of the election process. The pandemic cannot be used as an excuse for changing elections in America. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Antisemitism, go to viewpoints.info/antisemitism. viewpoints.info/antisemitism.
Well, it's Earth Day. This is Ken Ham, author, speaker, and blogger on why we can trust the Bible. Today, many people will celebrate Earth Day. Now, it's not a bad thing to have a day set aside to encourage others to care for our planet. After all, we've been placed by God as stewards over His creation. We're to care for it, using it for our good and God's glory. So what's the problem with Earth Day? Well, it often turns into a worship of our supposed Mother Earth. Many environmentalists place Earth, animals, and plants above people. They act as if we're a blight on the planet. Really, they're practicing paganism and worshipping the Earth instead of worshipping God. Yes, we should care for Earth, but we should recognize man was given dominion over the creation by God.
Get answers to your questions about climate change, science, and the Bible at AnswersRadio.com and listen to this program again and view a transcript at AnswersRadio.com.
Brian Fisher here. Neil Gorsuch strikes a lethal blow to Roe v. Wade. CNN trashes Trump over Harvard, then admits he was right after all. Trump suspends immigration from everywhere. Jake Tapper accuses Bill de Blasio of one of the worst ideas ever. And Georgia's governor opens up gyms but says you don't have to go. Next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Oh, and in case you missed it, folks, you were just reminded just a second ago by one of our spots. This is Earth Day. And I just want to declare for everybody that the Earth is doing just fine. Thank you very much. You know, I mean, the Earth is doing just fine. But of course, we've got people who, in fact, folks, this is interesting. But apparently, Pope Francis believes that the coronavirus is the result of Earth's anger at us because, you know, we're running around in SUVs and we're flying around in jet planes and we are offending the Earth, and the Earth is angry and is striking back at us with the coronavirus. And, you know, you just want to think, oh, brother. You know, it's like, oh, man. And no, folks, don't go there. I'm not bashing the Catholic Church or bashing Catholicism. I'm just pointing out something that Pope Francis said. I think he's a child of the left, frankly, and I've talked to many devout Catholics who agree with that. But I talked just this very day. I happened to be on the telephone with a friend of mine who is Catholic, and the conversation went to a particular candidate. I won't even bother to mention the candidate's name, who happens to be Catholic. And the person kind of went on a rant and said, You know, why aren't some of these Catholic leaders coming down on these people who want to tell everybody, I'm a Catholic. And that they oppose every moral standard that the church sets. They support abortion. They support this gay marriage stuff. They support this transgenderism. They are absolutely in rebellion against everything that the church teaches on morality. And they want to stand up and say they're Catholics. They ought to be excommunicated. Somebody else stand up and say they excommunicated themselves. Now that's from a Catholic that I was talking to just this very day. So maybe the problem is not Mother Earth. Maybe the problem is the moral issue. You know, I've said many times, our issue is not moral. Our issue is not global warming. It's moral cooling. But at any rate, so for whatever it's worth, folks, people on the left are going to use this, and they're going to say that the coronavirus is the result of this, and is the result of our abuse of Mother Earth, and that Mother Earth must be satisfied, and they're calling for a kind of coronavirus response to the climate change crisis that we're in, and all of that. So you know, but that's just the atmosphere that we happen to live in today. Well, look, on other news, the president, I'm sure you all know, has stopped. He is, I don't think he's signed the order yet, but he's about to halt immigration for 60 days. And of course, he's being called everything but a child of God for doing that. You know, how dare he? You know, do you all find it as ironic as I do that you've got people in high office who have the right to tell Americans, think they have the right to tell Americans, go home, shut your doors, and don't come out until we tell you to, okay? Yeah. You all know that the governor of Kentucky, Beshear, has sent his state troopers around to churches that were having parking lot services, folks. Parking lot services. Been to Walmart lately? Been to any supermarket lately? There's a lot of cars out there. And they're parked pretty close together. But he told the people of Kentucky, we're going to send troopers out. They're going to collect these license plate numbers, and then you're going to get a visit from law enforcement and the health department, and you will be ordered to quarantine for 14 days. So let's understand this. These folks are telling the American people they have the right to, in effect, place us under house arrest. But when the president, in order to protect us from anybody from outside of our country who might be bringing the coronavirus into our country during a time of a pandemic, when the president says we're going to halt immigration for the next 60 days, I mean, suddenly the earth is, to talk about Earth Day, yeah, suddenly the earth is off its axis, spinning out into outer space, and once again, you know, it's the end of the world. It is amazing to me. And I think there does really need to be some psychological investigation of this, because I think on some level, there's a kind of self-hatred that these folks have absorbed of themselves, of our country, and of the rest of us. Because it does strike me as odd that you've got a group of people in the country who are willing to do almost anything to Americans in order to protect other people. I mean, they're willing to put Americans through almost anything. They're willing to make Americans suffer in any way you can imagine, as long as it doesn't upset something or someone else outside of our country. So illegal immigrants kill several thousand Americans every single year. Now, that's just a fact. They do. And when we hear that, when that's said, we know what we're told. Well, Americans commit more crimes than illegal immigrants. Yeah, but that's not the point. That's not the point. The point is that no American should die at the hands of a person who doesn't have the right to be here anyway. I mean, not that no American should die at the hands of any criminal. But no American should die at the hands of someone who doesn't have the right to be here anyway. Or someone who has already committed multiple crimes, been put in prison, should be deported, and is let back out on the streets and goes out and kills an American. And instead you get lectured on how racist you are. And you know, you're a bigot. So, okay, so an American can die. No problem with that. An American can be brutally murdered. No problem with that. But are you actually trying to stop an illegal immigrant from crossing into the country illegally? Well, what kind of person are you? I mean, doesn't that strike you as bizarre, folks? It just really strikes me as bizarre. And I don't think I'm exaggerating this at all because what's the gentleman's? Jameel Shaw, father of the young boy who was killed by a gang member who was looking for someone to kill as part of his gang initiation. This young man was a budding athlete. He was a scholar. He was a decent young man. Wasn't a part of a gang. Wasn't getting in trouble. Had a great life ahead of him. Happened to be a young American of African descent. And these gang members killed him. I think it was one who actually committed the murder as part of an initiation. Killed him. And his father said that after he died, because of course the nature of the life that he was living, and so many people were just expecting such great things from him, he said politicians descended on him to say, you know, how sorry they were until they found out that it was an illegal immigrant who killed him. He said, and then they backed off like he had the plague. They backed off like he had the plague, like he was no longer a human being, a father who was missing his son, who had been deeply and profoundly hurt by the murder of his son. No. Now he's just an American, and we got to protect illegal immigrants at all costs. So he lost his son, too bad. We're going on about our business because it's the illegal immigrants that we're concerned about, not you Americans. We wouldn't mind supporting you as long as, you know, you're not getting in the way of the folks outside of our country who don't belong in our country that we're protecting. But if it comes between you and them, we're going to choose them. And folks, and I don't, the story I just told you is true and real. I've heard him say it out of his own mouth. And we've seen it. You all have seen it. You witnessed it. You know that they will not touch with a 10-foot pole an American who has been deeply and profoundly hurt by someone from outside the country who has murdered a loved one. They don't want to get anywhere near that. What? How do you explain that? There's a great big gaping hole in the soul of someone who thinks that way. There really is. But the president is taking steps anyway, as he always does, seeking to do what is right rather than to do what is politically correct. And thank God he is, because, folks, if ever there were a moment for the realization that our borders matter, This is it. Another piece in the news. I'm going to start taking your calls when we come back to the next break. But Stacey Abrams and a number of others, of course, are pushing that we now need to go to mail-in ballots. So already they don't want any ID, right? So now they want to go to mail-in ballots. And folks, I'm convinced of and Stacey Abrams, by the way, you know, Stacey Abrams, the woman who lost the election in Georgia. Was it Governor Kemp, I think it is, down there? He's having his share of problems right now. He's trying to get Georgia reopened, and I think he's made a couple missteps, but God bless him, pray for him. But Stacey Abrams is one of the people pushing for mail-in ballots. She and Tom Hanks and Michelle Obama and former President Obama, they're all pushing for mail-in ballots now. Folks, that system is fraught with the potential for fraud. And you know what they say? I don't care how much evidence you present. I don't care how many people you show them have been tried and convicted of engaging in widespread voter fraud. I don't care how many names you show them on the voter rolls that don't belong there, names of illegal immigrants. I don't care how much you show them that people actually do cheat at the ballot box. I don't care what you do to prove it to them. You know what they say? Oh, that's a myth. That doesn't happen. Well, first of all, folks, you've got to have BBs for brains to believe that. Because any human endeavor that involves a competition for money or power will attract people who cheat. And to say that there's no such thing as voter fraud, how stupid can you be to even believe that? Back in a moment.
It's my turn. Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
The wall around the city of Jerusalem has been destroyed and rebuilt many times. One person who went down into immortality because he rebuilt the wall around the city was Nehemiah. Many times while Nehemiah was leading the reconstruction of that wall, he was tempted to quit, but each time he sent back the same message. I'm doing a great work, and I cannot come down. The Jews had recently returned from exile and found the wall around the city of Jerusalem in shambles. They needed something to lift their dragging spirits. Nehemiah saw the need and set about doing something, rebuilding the wall. Nehemiah knew that positive action overcomes broken spirits. Nehemiah had something each of us needs in life, a purpose. God had given him the responsibility of rebuilding the wall. That was his purpose. Most people considered it an impossible job for Nehemiah to perform, but he didn't. There were those who sought to destroy Nehemiah, but he stood fast when they set a trap for him. I'm doing a great work, and I cannot come down. Now, Nehemiah wasn't bragging on himself nor his work. He was simply stating the fact that he had a purpose in life. The key to a useful life is purpose. Unless we have a purpose in life, we'll just go wandering aimlessly. And as most of us are aware, aimlessness is a big sickness in our world. Criticism didn't stop Nehemiah either. Even some of his own people criticized him. They became discouraged in their work. But whenever anyone tried to get Nehemiah to quit, his reply was always the same. I'm doing a great work and cannot come down. Nehemiah would never compromise his high purpose. Sanballat, an enemy, tried to persuade him to discuss the building of the wall. But Nehemiah simply sent back his standard answer. 5 times he was urged to discuss the situation. 5 times he sent back the answer, I'm doing a great work and cannot come down. If Nehemiah had gone to discuss the situation, he would have been harmed, and the wall would not have been rebuilt. But he knew that there are some things in life which one cannot compromise. Truth, justice, honor, duty, trust, and faith in God. These things are never to be placed on the bargaining table. Nehemiah had something all of us could use. He had staying power. His opposition sought to destroy him with ridicule, armed opposition, even peace talks. But he would not quit. He had hold of something great, a high and holy purpose, and he would not let go. Underlying all of Nehemiah's actions was something of very practical worth, a deep and abiding trust and faith in God. I'm doing a great work and cannot come down. There were those who were far more intelligent than Nehemiah, far more powerful, even richer, but history has forgotten them. Nehemiah is remembered because he had a purpose in life, and he stuck to it despite great odds and temptation. Get hold of a great purpose in your life, and when you are tempted, send back these words, I'm doing a great work and cannot come down.
This has been My Turn with Don Weilman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Okay, folks, the number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you. Look, the president is being accused of sending people out to protest against some of these unlawful orders being issued by governors and mayors. You know, this is the other thing about the left that I just have a hard time understanding. Because here again, and I'm not saying this to cast needless invective and aspersions upon their intelligence or anything like that. But it does make me wonder, because if they just observed the conservative movement just for a minute, they would realize that one of its enduring qualities is individualism, spontaneous, organic, grassroots activity. And I have the utmost respect for President Trump. But people aren't going out protesting because they've gotten marching orders from President Trump. They're protesting because they feel that their constitutional rights are being infringed upon, and that some of the things that their government officials are doing are simply not lawful. They don't need the president to tell them to go out and do anything about that. They're doing it spontaneously, or they're doing it because they believe it's the right thing to do. But maybe it's not stupidity. Sometimes I think it is, because they immediately characterize this as, you know, the people are some sort of lemmings and their puppet master tells them what to do. And they always seem to revert to something like that. Or they couldn't do that exactly, though, with the Tea Party, because they didn't have a puppet master to point to. So they just call them a bunch of racists and a bunch of angry white people and all that. I mean, but it just never ends. So, and I think some of it really is a complete lack of intelligence. Remember, it is the left that these are collectivists, and they like marching orders. That's why they've gravitated so quickly to giving people orders. You cannot, you must not, you will not, you may not, and I will. By the way, it's been pointed out by some investigative reporters that while Governor Northam has given a lockdown order to the people of Virginia and told them that they should not travel or go out except for certain purposes, he is going back and forth to his North Carolina vacation home. Oh, but after all, I mean, he's different, right? Yes, he's different. While he is allowing others to be arrested for being out for reasons that they should not be out for, he himself, probably with state police escort, is traveling back and forth to his North Carolina vacation home. So, and I think that's the other reason that people are up in arms, because they sense the hypocrisy of this whole thing, that this is what elites do. And frankly, folks, not to put too fine a point on it, this is what Marxists and socialists and communists do. They make this big show of looking out for the people, and we're going to protect the people, and we're going to make sure that the people are treated fairly. And then they proceed to take to themselves every possible advantage, privilege, special treatment that you can find under the sun, so that they themselves set themselves up as kings and queens over everybody else, and then give everybody else all these instructions and orders. You know, Jesus said it this way: you lay up burdens too grievous to be borne, and you touch not one piece of the burden yourselves. The number again is 888-589-8840. Let's come to your calls. Thank you all for your patience. Let's see. Let's go first to Tommy in Ohio. Tommy, welcome. Tommy, you there? Tommy in Ohio. Okay. Let's put Tommy on hold, and let's see if we can't wake somebody else up here. Let's go to Angela in Louisiana. Angela, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, there you go.
Thank you. Thank you so much. First thing I want to say is that I really look forward. Since I've been off of work and home, my routine during the week is to make my lunch and have everything prepared so I can sit down and listen to you. I just time everything, you know, or my day around your program, and I really appreciate it.
That's so kind of you, Angela. Thank you.
Oh, I really do, sir. Thank you so much. One thing that concerns me, I have friends and family that I talk to, mostly people in my area are good people, but most just go along with what is being told, and they've taken all the precautions, they're good citizens, but so few people question what's happening, or try to listen to other views, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of sad. So I really enjoy listening to you and hearing the people that call in. I wanted to share something with you. I'm feeling fine, but I was curious the other day. I called a local urgent care to ask, what would be the procedure if I felt bad, respiratory signs, and thought I was getting the coronavirus? What would be the first thing? And they said I could go into urgent care. They would take a test. It might take 4 to 5 days to get the results. So I asked them, if you thought it, and if the results were positive, could you dispense medication to me, especially the anti-malarial drug? Mm-hmm. And they said, oh, no, unless you were so sick that you had to go to the hospital, you would just go home and take some sort of cold medicine. And I was speaking to a nurse, and I said, you're sure that you no one could give me a script for this medication that's supposed to be very effective so that I don't get sick enough to go to the hospital? And she said, oh, no, that medication is on short supply, and we have to reserve it for critically ill people.
Wow.
Well, first of all, if you're so ill, and let's say you have to go on a respirator, I don't believe you can swallow pills when you're on a respirator. Do you?
Wow, that you know.
I mean, this is what I was told, and the, maybe she's misinformed, or maybe that's what they're telling people to tell patients. Well, you know, I didn't have to go to urgent care. I just wanted to kind of prepare myself in case something like that happened.
Right.
So I would like to know, what have you heard? Like, have you heard of any people coming down with it, maybe not being critically ill, but still being placed on the anti-malarial drugs?
Well, Angela, you know, I'm so glad you called and shared this, because, you know, here again, you hear things said by medical experts, and then on the ground in the real world, they don't quite operate the way you're hearing. Because my impression was that this drug is now being widely made available for anyone who tests positive. But your experience is the opposite. In effect, you've got to almost be dying in order to get this drug, which is bizarre to me. So, no, I haven't had anybody. First of all, I've never met anybody. I haven't met anyone. And of course, you know, people are kind of locked in right now, too. But I haven't met anyone who's got it or who's had it or who's been tested positive with it. So I don't know what the experience is of people getting the treatment that they need for it. But the story you just told, Angela, is a chilling one, because I thought the point was to keep people from getting sick, not to wait until they're almost at their deathbed and see if you can't save them, because if we're going to avoid having the hospitals overrun, it seems to me the best thing to do is treat people as soon as they're diagnosed. So Angela, I'm glad that you are okay. I'm glad that you are well. And thank you for the call, Angela, and thank you for the compliment. Really do appreciate it. Let's see. I think we got time. Let's go to Evelyn in Texas. Evelyn, welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. How about you?
I'm doing good. I was calling because I feel like the biggest problem we have with all of this is just a lack of common sense going on. I read an article
Evelyn, listen, it's my fault. Can you wait until we finish the break?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, then you stand by. I'm going to come back to you after the break, okay? Stand by, folks. We'll be back in a moment.
I think that we should be in the Word of God, and our kids should see us in the Word of God as a source of strength.
Dr. Kathy Cook on Focus on the Family Minute.
If we say that God is our strength, do we behave as if He is? And if we turn to Him in the Word, we will be encouraged, especially if we hang out in the right sections of the Word and, you know, the right Psalms, the Psalms of Lament and the Psalms that about David, where he was maybe a disappointment in a season but came back strong. I think that we need to pray, and we need to pray as if we believe that God hears us and is on our side. And we need to make sure that our kids hear us pray for them, and that we ask them the next day, you know, how are they doing? And if they're still sad, we pray in the moment for them. You know, Father God, would you help Jessica's heart turn toward joy? They need to hear us pray for them.
Hear more from Dr. Kathy Cook at familyminute.org.
This is Franklin Graham. As news about the coronavirus seems to worsen, many people are feeling overwhelmed, anxious, even fearful. We want to help. At the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, we have a prayer line that's open 24/7. We have staff who would love to speak with you, pray with you. Remember, God loves you.
Call 1-888-388-2683. That's 1-888-388-2683. Or visit billygraham.org.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I was finishing undergrad and got credit cards because I couldn't work full-time. So that started the credit card journey for me.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
And then when I got married, we combined our credit card debt and it became impossible to pay off on our own. At that point, I was like, I don't know where to turn. And then I found Trinity.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
I initially was scared to call, and immediately I felt relief. I mean, in a matter of 3 years, we've already paid down $20,000 in credit card debt, which is huge.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. Let's come right back to Evelyn. Evelyn in Texas. Evelyn, thank you for waiting. So you were saying that you think there's a lack of common sense out here.
Yeah. Okay. So I know the president's done a few things that have benefited us. Stopping travel from China right away, a few other things, you know, what he's doing now, trying to halt immigration for a while. I think that's necessary. Mm-hmm. There's a few other things that have happened that I think we're on the right track, but I think we have a real huge lack of common sense. The fact of the matter is, I read an article that said NASA is controlling the space rovers from their homes. Sony has their people working from home and are paying them ridiculous amounts of money to work from home. Microsoft is coming out with their new gaming console still. They plan to be able to launch in the fall. But I called the IRS because I have a tax issue and they're closed.
Oh my goodness. So you're telling
me all these others are essential, but the IRS call center can't work from home and they're not essential?
Well, Evelyn, I hear exactly what you're saying. Although, you know, of course, that a lot of people listening will go, the IRS is closed. Good. You know, but I don't mean to make light of your situation. You're right. Well, it just seems to me that you're right. If we can just operate with a degree of common sense, some of these rules, like out in Michigan, where, you know, you can buy marijuana, but you can't buy seed to plant in your own field for your own farm. So there's a lot of craziness going on, Evelyn. But Evelyn, thank you for the call. Thanks for waiting. And look, I hope that you get through to the IRS, although probably a lot of people listening again hope that they never have to get through to the IRS, Evelyn. So God bless you. Let's see. We had Tommy from Ohio Tommy, I called on you earlier and you didn't answer. Are you there this time?
Yeah, I'm here this time. I got a phone call from my doctor that was supposed to do a surgery on my elbow today.
Oh.
it's a long story, but I'll tell you, it comes down to, this is why Bernie Sanders dropped out. Our medicine is already socialized. Bernie ain't going to be able to change it. And we, the people, are going to be lucky to change it because they wanted me to wear a mask in the hospital. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Doesn't the hospital have the cleanest air that there is? I mean, how could you have cleaner air than what is in a hospital? And I said, and outside, the trees are budding and the leaves are coming out. I said, what has everybody got a mask on for? I said, you guys are inciting fear is what you're doing. And you know what? It wouldn't operate on me. Didn't it?
Really?
Since I wouldn't wear a mask, it wouldn't fix my elbow.
And, now, you know, here again, and Tommy, to me, that's about control, because I had an impacted tooth that had to be removed. I had to have it's probably too much information, folks, but I had to have a bone graft put in preparation for an implant somewhere down the road. And I couldn't, you can't wear a mask because they've got to be in your mouth. So, you know, this stuff is not absolute. And it seems to me here again that they could have accommodated you. But, you know, it's about control, folks. It's about making sure everybody's on the same page of fear. So, Tommy, we pray that you get your operation and get that out of the way once this whole thing is passed. And I'm sure you had your own reasons for not wanting to put that mask on. And they didn't like it. And so, frankly, in my view, they punished you for it. Thanks for the call, Tommy. Let's go to John in Missouri. John, welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great, John. How about you?
All right. Hey, back in December, like right after Christmas, my mom got really sick, which she normally doesn't. I mean, she gets sick, but not where she gets put to the hospital. And she had all the signs, you know, the couldn't breathe and everything. Come to find out, you know, they found an underlying problem. A heart valve was bad, mm-hmm. you know, and they couldn't, through the week that she was there, was either, you know, the lungs, the fluid in her lungs was from ammonia. No, it was from the heart valve. But in which way, to make a long story short, she had all these tests done. She has to get her heart valve replaced, and they won't do the surgery now. So this is all over with.
Well, wait.
And
why won't they do the surgery?
They need to replace her heart valve.
Yeah,
and
but
they won't do it.
They didn't give any reason. I mean, that's not elective surgery. That's important.
They're
needed surgery.
No, they're saying that's elective surgery.
They're saying that the replacement of a heart valve that renders you incapable of breathing adequately and causes liquid to enter your lungs is elective?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
At a heartbeat. She was supposed to go March 31st, and they canceled it.
See, folks, this is what I mean, and I don't know whether it was you, John, that talked about socialized medicine, but this is exactly what I mean. This is how control is taken out of the hands of the American people and individuals making their own judgments and decisions about their own lives, and it's ceded over to government and to bureaucracies and whatnot. And you know, it just really makes me godly angry to think that your mother needs a heart valve. That's elective surgery. We'll put that off. But an abortion, oh, that's not. We got to make sure that the abortions continue to go on. I mean, wow. Well, listen, God bless you. And we'll say a prayer for your mother that she will get her heart valve and be just fine, John. That is a travesty. And whoever is involved in making those kinds of decisions ought to be ashamed of themselves. But, John, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Virginia. Gregory, welcome.
Yes, sir. I have a statement to make that I'd just like to say right now. These progressives that are destroying my country need to be prosecuted for high treason. The American people need to change from a defensive posture and become aggressive prosecutors. Tyranny must be met with justice, and this stuff is unconstitutional. I believe that somebody needs to get together and form a group of some kind to go after the progressives instead of them coming after us.
Well, look, Gregory, I hear what you're saying, and frankly, on principle, I agree with you. It is something that I have turned over in my own mind a lot. I have some friends who are around me who support the work I do who entirely agree with this. The question is how, and obviously, you know, we're not suggesting violence in any way, and trying to prosecute people requires specific evidence of a specific person's activity. I think you're absolutely right in spirit that what they're doing is completely undermining our Constitution and our way of life, and they're betraying the American people. They're betraying the spirit of the Constitution. Specific evidentiary proof of aiding and abetting a foreign enemy and all of that sort of thing that goes into treason, that's where it gets hard. It would be great to have an enterprising U.S. attorney or an enterprising prosecutor or an attorney general somewhere who would make an example of one of these people who is engaged in the kind of behavior we're talking about. I mean, for example, and I don't think this is far-fetched, folks, but for example, has Hunter Biden committed treason? Has Hunter Biden engaged in some activity? My understanding is he may still be on the board of some company in China. Has what he's done with his father, who was then vice president's approval or awareness? I mean, is that treason? Is that betrayal? I don't know. I mean, I'm sure some people argue, well, no, it's not that. It's stupid. It's corrupt. But I don't know, folks. Some of this stuff gets dangerously close, in my view, to exactly what you've just been suggesting. So thanks for the call, man. Keep thinking about it. You come up with any ideas, you let everybody know, because I think you, in spirit at least, you're on to something. Let's go to Todd in Louisiana. Todd, welcome.
Hey, thanks, brother, for taking my call. I want to make some comments on the WHO. I mean, we spend a lot of money to the WHO, but yet we don't get, you know, enough information from them, or it was hidden, whatever. I mean, it's a serious situation. I mean, if they would have been honest with us, this problem wouldn't have happened. And one more thing, Abe, and I mean, EW, and I'm going to let you go. You know, you can't buy common sense. But anyway, either give it, you know, either God gives it to you or he doesn't. But anyway, this is one scripture that I really love so much. And it's Matthew chapter 13, the first couple of verses. It talks about the parable of the sower. And I'm going to hang up and listen to you, brother. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you so much for the call, Todd. Well, look, folks, obviously there is a great deal going on. And I really do believe this. I don't think this is an overstatement at all. I really do believe that our constitutional republic is under grave threat. And I believe that we as Americans have got to take every constitutional tool available to us to save our country. And that means that we've got to speak up, we've got to stand up, we've got to register, we've got to vote, we've got to mobilize people to get out and vote their Christian and constitutional values. That's the answer to the treason and the traitorous behavior and the betrayal of the American people. I mean, because some of this stuff is simply not going to, and we're not going to solve the problems of our country at the point of a gun. And so that's out, okay? That's just not going to happen, and that's not something any of us should want to see. But you know, let's face it, we've gotten to this point because for too long, we patriots who just loved our country and worked and took care of our families and did what we were supposed to do, basically educated our children, we were complacent. We just took it for granted that what we had would always continue that way. And now we're realizing, no, there can come an erosion, such an erosion of the fundamental rights that we have as Americans, that we could look up one day and see a very different country than what we have. We got to come together across all racial and cultural lines as Christians, because our country desperately needs our unity. And I think the left is committed to keeping us apart. So God bless you all. Just look, stay in the fight. And by the way, on a great note, I mentioned a friend who was in the hospital. She's doing much, much better. Remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.